Does it hold up? We used to love it then. We watched it now. We don't know if we like it. Does it hold up?
Ba-da-da-da-da. You're listening to Does It,
Does
hold,
it
up?
Hold Up?
Does It Hold Up? This is Philip.
And Katie.
And Bridget.
Oh, and in case you don't know, this is the quarantine edition. So
wow.
We are all in our own individual bubbles in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
San Diego.
San Diego. Hey, guys, what movie did you guys watch?
I watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit, directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah. Luckily, that's the same movie I watched.
Me too.
Well, that's
me
good. Too.
So we're going to do that thing that we do, and we're going to discuss and figure out if Who Framed Roger Rabbit holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Let's get into it.
So wait, we're going to start with our familiarity of this movie.
Our levels.
And
all right.
Because I know a little bit from some chit chat we've had, I want Bridget to start because I think she's going to start it at the tippy top.
Well, friends, I have seen this movie hundreds of times, I think. And I was quoting it annoyingly as Jeff and I watched it last night ahead of time. And so I feel like I know a lot about Roger Rabbit. I feel very, very familiar. Very familiar.
And Katie?
I'll give myself, a VH expert. Level. Similarly, I don't know about hundreds. Bridget, you seem very, very familiar, like it's on the tip of your brain.
It was on the tip of my brain. I could have done this without watching it.
Okay, so I could not have. I probably could have. Yeah, I could not have. But I did watch it a ton as a kid because we had it on VHS and it was like one of my favorite movies. And I feel like it was like one of my favorite rides at Disney World when we went. It was very exciting.
Yeah. It was a ride?
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were new things that I don't think I've seen it in my most recent adult years though. So there was definitely some things that looked different to me as a grown folk.
Yeah. Phil, what about you?
I think I saw it like once as a youngster. And I remember being a little bit disturbed about it and would have like random dreams about it. And then most recently I saw it, just a few days ago. So I am very uninitiated into the deep dive of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So my level would be random beady-eyed dream sequence.
Got it.
Just like that, it pops up in random dreams that I have and that's about it.
I like it. The other thing I want to note is that this is the first time I watched this movie with somebody who went to school to study animation.
Oh.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh, it's your first time doing that? Weird.
Yes. Funny enough. So I got a lot of inside scoop. He could guest on if we need real inside scoop. I just want to put it out there, but I do have some fun tidbits to share.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. We do want that. Podcast listeners have been screaming for
tidbits.
Some more informed voices than our three voices.
I will add that I watched it with my roommates who are, I guess, millennials. Millennials. But we're like, yes, I just got confirmation that
millennials.
Like I'm barely a millennial and like probably so are they. They're like 25. So I got some insights into it's like to watch this for the first time as an adult.
Okay.
So that was my insight to like the difference between a classic, like does it hold up because you watched it as a kid versus would it hold up as a new watch? So I've got some feedback for that.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm excited pretty about good. That as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll just jump into it. And I know because I was talking with Katie the other day, and this is the...
You guys spend a lot of time talking without me, and I just want to say it to the whole podcast world that just because you guys live in the same city, I just want you to know that.
Well, we just randomly bumped into each other.
Yeah.
And you should be social distancing.
Yeah. I want to be clear, Bridget, that I've literally seen you more recently than Phil. Even
that's
though
true. City. That's true.
You're social distancing. So
I'm happy about that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But no, we were playing Trivia Pursuit last night.
Yes.
Over the interwebs. And
that's fun.
We started discussing. Yeah. And the initial thing was like, how the frick did they get all the different licensing for all these different things into one movie?
I know about that.
Oh.
Okay.
Hold it. That's a question from our frequent listener, Annie ICU.
Oh, I love Annie ICU's questions.
She's good. She's good. Yeah.
There's another one too, but yeah.
Okay. So we won't discuss that now. We're just gonna leave it. Okay.
Well, anyway. I got things to say about it though.
We can do it for the question corner.
Okay. We'll leave it for the question corner. So how do we like usually we're talking about different movies that are going all over the different place. This one's a very, I would say, like, plot-driven.
Very plot. I mean, a lot of exposition.
Yep.
My main thing is it's a film noir movie, and pretty much they just sort of dropped cartoons on a traditional 1950s film noir, which I love.
It's a mystery. It's a crime film.
Mm-hmm. A crimey, as they
call
it.
Crimey, if you will. An old crimey.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if you know this, but I love film noir.
I do know
one of
that.
My favorite genres. Like if I could just
live
go back
in
time, I would become a PI with a drinking problem. And
what's different than now?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
I caught you snooping, Philip.
Yeah.
P.I.
I don't have quite fat enough ties, I think is what it is.
Short, very short ties.
And I need to make them shorter. Yeah, that's a style. That is a style.
If you want to put somebody's tie into like a what is that thing called? The old filmy?
The projector?
Oh,
And if your tie is short, it's harder to do.
I got ya. You can't put it in there. It's too short. And it's also too wide.
Well, should we? So I took notes, but I don't.
I took notes. I took notes.
But I don't have the like plot by plot, play by play, but we can
go
through it. Okay, let's do like the plot play by play and then go from there.
I kind of stopped. I'm going to tell you, I stopped with the play by play after merry-go-round broken down because I drank too much.
Cool. Sure, that'll happen.
Got it.
I kind of got tired, but I did not sleep at all during this movie.
Nice.
So 5 stars. Mm.
Yeah. Nora did. She in fact fell asleep at the end. Okay. So she is. That's her question for the end. Is like,
what happened?
What happened? Who was the murderer?
That's right.
Okay.
We had, spoiler alert, we had to inform my roommates of the ending as well. That was not because of due to sleep.
Should we just say it? It was Judge Doom.
Yep, Judge Doom.
Yeah, it was Judge Doom. So,
spoiler alert.
He did all the murders. Sorry, everyone.
If you were going to pause halfway through this podcast and then watch the movie, you're shit
terrible
out of luck.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a terrible idea.
Okay, well, the way the film opens is with the Baby Herman cartoon featuring Roger Rabbit, where we get to see that the cartoon world is the same as the real world.
When they like zoom out, which is like such a mind blow. And
when I was a kid, that blew my mind. When you saw like the mom's feet, and I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, incredible. And Raul calls cut. And remember, like with cartoons, there did used to be like a cartoon before the show, right?
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
And that's kind of like what it harkens to. Because I even remember, I feel like some cartoons after this were of Baby Herman. Do you guys remember that?
No.
Like some,
I don't.
I feel like some of them were like the actual real Baby Herman thing. Anyway.
What I do want to say about Baby Herman is that I remember since I watched this movie so many times as a kid, he was very formative in my understanding of cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a trip we took as Girl Scouts to Ocean City, and I won enough tickets from like a skee ball to purchase a fake cigar. And I remember walking around like the boardwalk, like Like fake smoking, calling it my stogie.
Oh, nice.
But it wasn't just that. There was also a stogie in National Lampoon's, and there's some ties. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some ties between the two movies.
Yeah.
But stogie.
Did you start crying anytime you dropped your stogie?
Yeah, it was a whole bit we did. It was like
nice.
All I these like fourth grade Girl Scouts just like doing bits about my stogie.
Amy Herman is probably the best actor in the film, right? Like, go from that like like cigar smoking old like George Burns character to then snap into it and be a convincing baby.
Yeah, she was a very convincing baby. Yeah.
Super good actor.
Like,
face changes, he gets rid of his wrinkles.
Walking across the plates and like drown. Yeah.
Who puts bread though on top of a refrigerator just loose?
Doop, 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 doop. Yeah.
Katie, do you want to explain what you were just doing? Remember, we're on.
I was just doing with my fingers like the deck of cards shuffle that became baby Herman walking over that bread. Yeah. And then.
No, the Zoops did it. I knew exactly what
you got it.
Zoop, zoop, zoop.
Zoop, 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 zoop.
Yeah, baby Herman. So, but that's also where we're introduced to the fact that like Toons, there's a lot of setup. The whole movie is a setup for the final scene. It's like all the things you understand about Toons and mm-hmm. and the world that they live in and the Acme Corporation is like just all a setup for the final scene.
Which is interesting you say that because there is so much Acme product placement in the first cartoon, in the Baby Herman cartoon, mm-hmm. which I noticed too. It's like, oh, okay. So they're like paying for it. Yeah, they definitely do a good job of building this like world financially. Yeah. As a kid, and I will not lie, as an adult, I have a hard time following the plot of like who's buying what. Like,
I know
who is financially interested in dismantling the train.
It's not very clear.
No,
I mean,
it took me a sec, but I mean, that's the whole point. Like, film noirs are supposed to be just super fucking complicated.
This
was that's their deal. Yeah,
because Maroon, Acme, and Maroon, I guess Acme and Maroon. I know there's two guys, but
Maroon
in my head,
cartoons, yeah,
Maroon Park cartoons, and who's the guy who gets his tie stuck in the projector?
That's Maroon,
RK Maroon, yeah. And Acme, the guy that plays Patty Cake.
Yeah.
I just get them mixed up in my head. I'm like, there's two guys.
They're just old white guys.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Anyway. So,
well, after the cartoon, we transition into the real world. Mm-hmm. And we see the sort of the setup of, you know, what is his name?
Eddie
on the streetcar, and he's getting a cigarette from those kids. And so like, the streetcar, like, it's not going anywhere. Like, LA has the best public transportation.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that down. Yeah. The best.
Which is a joke, right?
Yeah. The whole thing is really a commentary about Los Angeles transportation.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie.
Right.
Which is interesting.
And you see that like Cloverleaf, which is mm-hmm. like the highways, is moving in, and you get introduced to Dolores and the streetcar restaurant, the terminal bar.
Well, and we also learned that it's 1947. That becomes clear.
Golden times.
And then I write down, are we at the scene yet where Eddie
the egg?
Before that, when he talks to, who hires Eddie?
You're right. He did talk to him first, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to say he was working for Toons.
Yeah, and I didn't catch this as a kid, but he says something about, RK Maroon says something about show business, and, you know, he's like, you know, that's show business, and he's like, no business like it, no business I know, which is, like, very funny.
Yes.
I thought that was amazing.
There's also a lot of bourbon and whiskey drinking in this movie, like, a lot.
Yeah. Well,
he's
I'm going to say,
right?
As the film noir expert, that's basically a film noir. It's like every main character is an alcoholic, and their drink of choice is bourbon.
Flask.
Yeah.
Or just like big cups of it that they never act like is gross as they're drinking it.
I know. And I mean, we'll get into this in a little bit, but I also have a note for that there is Chekhov's bourbon in here. When they give some bourbon to Roger Rabbit. Yeah. Mm. It's like, it's so over the top. It's like, oh, they're, I mean, also because I've seen this movie already, nay, 30 years ago. But I was like, oh, this is going to become something else.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I wrote down when he's talking to R.K. Maroon and he says he's going to go to a club where it's humans only, but the Toons are the performers, obviously, that you learn, but it's humans only. I'm like, is this like a metaphor? The movie is like maybe a metaphor for like apartheid. Like, it's definitely like walking a line of like,
yeah, this, I think so.
Well, there's segregation and like
segregation.
They all live on one side and the other side, and
they can kind of intermingle, but like not really. Like, there's
I think so.
And it's okay if they're entertainers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is interesting.
I want to talk a little bit about the humans in the bar. And this is something I never noticed as a kid or paid attention to, but I was interested in that, like, they introduce a lot of characters that hang out in this bar who are adults with disabilities.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Yeah.
And it's not addressed or and that's okay. It was just interesting to me. I was curious about that. Well,
I wrote down later that when Judge Doom comes, he just like makes fun of and abuses anybody with a body difference in that bar. There's a little person, there is somebody that has an amputated arm, and he immediately just like humiliates both people, which is
there's
crazy.
A gentleman who is mute or doesn't speak.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He writes down his response to Eddie. When Eddie asks him a question.
Oh, right, yeah.
That is a three. So that really puts it over the top of like.
Yeah, that's why it's.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why. But is it kind of like a safe space for like otherwise marginalized people? Because it's kind of like this bar that Toons are kind of a lot, like they're going to embrace Roger Rabbit too. Like it's a speakeasy kind of thing.
Just that man who sweats more than any man. The
hard boiled, where his toupee spins and stuff.
The hard boiled egg guy. No, the one who Eddie shoves a hard boiled egg into his mouth.
Who does an awesome move of just like kicking on his chair and catching him on the chin.
Yeah, gross.
That was vicious. Well,
so Dolores, so we're at the part with Dolores.
Yeah.
I, at the time not, but this time I had like a killer crush on Dolores, who's awesome. And, plays, I was watching it. I'm like, is that Rose from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead? And it
oh my gosh, you're right. Which is another movie I would like to do for this podcast.
100%. Yes. Yeah. So that's exciting. It's probably like 10 years, or not even 10 years. They really age her up in
Don't
Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes, they do. Yeah, she's great. Dolores is great.
Amazing.
And she stands her ground. She's a tough cookie.
Well, there's always the femme fatale, which, of course, we have Jessica Rabbit, and then there's always the other one, who I actually gravitate more to in all film noir. They're usually...
Spunky.
I don't know. And I'll get into the whole discussion of Jessica Rabbit later.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about that.
There's always like two women in film noir, and it's always the femme fatale, and then there's always the, I don't even know if, I'm sure there's a term for this person.
Best friend.
No, because it's always, it's another love interest, but it's.
The stable wife.
Second banana.
Yeah. Maybe second banana, but usually it is an obvi first choice.
Cute, but not sexy.
Like the tomboy, girl next door. The Joey.
I don't know. Yeah, it's the one that does it for me rather than the femme fatale.
Yeah, for sure. Femme fatale's
like...
Make
sure you tell your wife that. Women love to hear that they're like the plain Jane version.
But that's not what I'm saying. it's they're just as sexy. It's just they're usually not...
Voluptuous. Oh, I see. Okay.
Once again, I will get into this. My views on Jessica Rabbit. So.
Me and Annie have accepted that we're both two sidekicks that found each other.
Nice. Yeah.
I haven't accepted that I'm not a femme fatale.
You could be a femme fatale.
Stop it, Katie.
I'm definitely a sidekick, so.
Yeah. Okay, so after the hard-boiled egg exposition where we learn, like, what everything that Eddie's going to be doing, basically, and, like, what his whole life is and why he doesn't want to work with Toons anymore, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Then
because a Toon killed his brother.
A Toon killed his spoiler.
Upfront about it. Spoiler.
Spoiler. Okay, if you thought were going to break one spoiler at the beginning, and you're like, okay, I made it through that. I could still listen to a little bit, and halfway through, I'll watch the movie.
But Toon killed his brother how long ago? Because they talk about
not that long ago.
Right, enough, but they talk about it like it's like
get on his side of the desk.
There's a lot of dust, but also he's like, back in those days, we loved Toontown. Those days, like 3 weeks ago, like how long ago?
I assume like 2 years.
2 years,
that's
yeah.
my guess.
I thought it was 2 years too.
Okay, and so follow
2 years
up.
2 years worth of dust.
So Eddie and Dolores have been kind of like on again, off again for 2 years because they were together. And then it seems like Eddie's drinking got out of control. And I think it's like in this movie, we just believe that when your brother dies, you can't be with anybody. Then you
probably needed some space, like, you know,
because sure. they were all great friends, it seems, from this stack of pictures.
Yeah.
Or maybe a throuple. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. We don't know.
And then another thing is, I think when he's going through that and you're doing this like montage of the old pictures, it looks like they're descendants of like the Ringling brothers. Like
that. Well, that's, let's, should we pin that? Because
sorry.
Okay. After, yeah, but I, yes. And I agree with you. Because before that happens, we are at the speakeasy.
Yeah.
With the dueling pianos. With Donald Daffy Duck.
Cabaret. Oh,
yeah.
Here's, and I'm sure Bridget knows this one, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but the whole way the deals that were having to be made,
I read this too. Go
to
ahead.
Get Disney and Looney Tunes all together, or Warner Brothers rather, is that we'd have to have equal time between Daffy Duck and
Donald
Duck.
And they had to be also, like equally good at the piano, right? Or something.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's what I read.
And
yeah.
Philip, who were the other two?
Mickey Mouse and that rabbit.
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
I read that too. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know who really orchestrated all of that?
Steven Spielberg.
That's right, yeah.
We've all done our research.
Well, I didn't have to research anything.
I know, yeah, it's true.
Did
Jeff know all of that?
Yo, yeah.
That's incredible. That's really cool.
He has like a book from Jeffrey. What's that person's name?
Richard Williams,
who is the...
He directed all the animation.
He's the director of animation, and he has like a textbook from his school, and in the textbook are illustrations from Roger Rabbit.
That's cool. Well, the other... Well, whatever. We can get into the fun facts.
Yeah.
Fun facts, different time.
I want to talk about that bartender octopus.
Oh,
in the speakeasy. He is not doing a good job. He is wily, and he has so many arms. He's just dropping drinks everywhere.
You would think an octopus would have be an arm ahead, if you will.
In that bar, when he screams at the Toon that he on the rocks, and he's like, "Can I mean ice?" As a kid, I thought that you had to clarify. Like, if you ordered a drink, clarify ice because it could equal, like, it was interesting to rewatch and be like, how much it informed my kid brain of, like, how it worked to go to a bar or, like you said, smoke a cigar or, like, go on a date with a car.
Or have sex, but meaning that you play patty cake.
Yes, that was so confusing as a kid. Oh, no. I can't wait to talk about that.
I was like, is this sexy? I don't know.
Yes. Katie, did you have the first two times you had sex, was it just patty cake?
It was just patty cake, and I felt gross about it. And I couldn't figure out how to use yeah. protection. We did it with gloves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's like, how you have to do it now in the quarantine.
Well, even rewatching it, I had a hard time like unkidifying or like my brain.
Me too.
Watching it because I'm like, it is just patty cake, right? Or is this bad? I can't even decide. Like, I couldn't figure it out.
I agree. There are so many moments like that.
They were screwing while they were playing patty cake.
But they weren't, right? It wasn't a
no, euphemism. They were not. They were not.
Roger's were. Just so, and then I just love that it's the concession of Eddie Valiant too. It's not like these tunes are like so sensitive and crazy. It's like, sorry, man, it's patty cake. What can I tell you? That's awesome. Yeah.
One of the other things in the speakeasy bar that Jeff and I were talking about was the penguin waiters, because those penguins are really like a throw to, because all the cartoons are like a throw to something else
references,
that's already existed, right? References, mm-hmm. except for like Roger and Jessica and like the car and a few other things, but really they're all from something else.
The gorilla.
Else. The penguins are like from Mary Poppins.
I was wondering.
But Mary Poppins wasn't made until the 60s. So it's interesting that there were penguins in a movie that took place in the 40s.
Oh yeah, but like probably it's like showing what they did before they were cast in Mary Poppins.
Right? Yeah, they were working actors.
20
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. True. That's fun. That's a fun like little mind bend.
Yeah. It's a mind warp.
I also noticed. I'm interested to hear what Jeff has to say about this too, but like the animation for me really held up. It wasn't like, oh gosh, like when you see special effects and it doesn't. And I'm like, I totally believe that this human and a cartoon are in the same place. And the one time that I feel like it's like a little obvious is when the gorilla throws Eddie out of the bar, and you can tell that Bob Hoskins, who plays Eddie, is on a cable, like on a wire. And I think that's awesome too, because it almost is like, yeah, like it would look weird to be thrown out by a cartoon. I don't know. I just like that none of it is CGI. I just really liked it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I read about Bob Hoskins in that book that Jeff had was that he was such a, because he's British, right? Which also gets me. Like,
yeah.
And but everybody has like New York accents and they all live in LA. And that's another like kind of joke, right? About how nobody's from there. But he's such a like classically trained actor mm-hmm. that he like never missed his cue in terms of like looking at Roger in the eyes, which he's about supposed to be 3 feet tall. But then there was like a scene where he like suddenly lost it for a little bit. And so he kept looking at like 6 feet. And so what the animator said was that like they just like stretched Roger in that scene and like made him look taller and longer than he was, like because he's like a cartoon, so he has the ability because he was scared, so they thought like since he was scared he would just like stretch longer.
Oh, crazy.
In that scene.
That's funny.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. Also, do you know who we meet Jessica Rabbit?
Is that voice Kathleen Turner? Is that Kathleen Turner?
It is, but not the singing voice.
Oh, then I don't know who the singing voice is.
We watched it till the end.
It's
a different
Spielberg's wife.
Kate Capshaw? It is Steven Spielberg's wife.
Kate Capshaw?
First wife. Her first, his first wife.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Oh. Jeff, do you remember the name?
Amy Irving.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Ba-ba-boom, man. And it's, as a kid, that also informed me of, like, I don't know, like, you're just supposed to fall in love with anybody that looks like Liza Minnelli on stage, like, anybody with that presence. Because, like, the whole audience just lost
I was like, okay, note to self, when I'm not in fourth grade anymore, I'm supposed to look like that.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, totally.
Although, because they were both in this scene, and maybe we can get into it here. I found Betty Boop more attractive than Jessica Rabbit.
Tell us more.
I thought Jessica, and this may be just because there's been a lot of other cartoons or drawings and stuff like this. Watching this movie, oh my gosh, Bridget's face is being massaged by a very, very tiny hand in our video.
Like just... Kristen Wiig's Lawrence Welk
yes.
hand.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, totally.
Anyways, for me, Jessica Rabbit in this was basically a big old mushy pile of mashed potatoes that's just getting mushed around. Like the I thought the animation held up throughout the movie, but not for her.
Maybe she's like a little.
All the proportions just do not work. Not even just like, oh, her waist too skinny and stuff like that. It's like, no, her elbow stops like 2 feet from where it should be stopping. It's just, she looked like a pile of mashed potatoes in boob and hip form, you know?
She also has like no nose. She has like a dot for
her. She has the Voldemort. So,
yeah. She's so. Yeah, like, right. Like, she's kind of a different illustrator or something. It's a little
it's just, she was pumped full of Botox, and it's just, I don't know. And her face is constantly moving around, and it was weird.
Her boobs, when Eddie, like, hits his head on her boobs, it's like, booing, going, going. Yeah, it's not super attractive to me either.
Also, I remember as a kid thinking about this, but also as a grown woman, just how... does the dress like that stay on?
Yeah, I still wonder that.
But it's really just because she's a cartoon.
Yeah, that would be the easiest answer. Sure.
So we meet her, then we see the patty cake scene with Acme.
Amazing.
And Eddie gets kicked out, but he takes the photos.
Yeah.
And then we learn about Roger not being able to drink alcohol, which is a very key exposition point.
Yeah.
As I said, the Chekhov's bourbon.
Yeah.
You introduce someone who, like, explodes when they drink bourbon in the first act. And in the third act, it better become important. And it does.
And there's a lot of... It's the thing, like, if you introduce a gun in the first...
Yeah.
Right, and there's a lot of those, right? They're like singing, so everything in that next scene, well, the two scenes from now when they see that the safe.
The disappearing, reappearing ink, like all that stuff.
Well, all the stuff in the Acme.
Yeah, later. The whole, all of
the
that.
The singing sword,
Yes.
The sledgehammer thing. That was actually, what's his face?
Barry Manilow? Or no. Tony Curtis?
No.
Dean Martin.
Keep going.
No, nope. Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
God damn it. Nice. Wait, Chekhov's bourbon, you're saying that's a name of a plot device, or that is a brand of bourbon that you
are... No.
It's a plot device.
Although, I'm going to start brewing bourbon.
You should.
That's going to be Chekhov's bourbon. No, it's Chekhov's gun is the plot device. It's basically, as Bridget was saying, if you introduce a gun in the first act, someone better get shot.
Got it.
With that gun in the third act.
I see. Yeah. And you are repurposing it to be Chekhov's bourbon.
That's what it said
on the glass.
No.
Flask?
Did it?
Bridget.
No way.
Bridget's
you got
just
me.
Messing with us left and right.
I'm assuming that would have been witty. I am Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, seriously. Man.
That would have been very witty of them if they'd renamed it Chekhov.
Yeah, that would have been really cool.
But no, it wasn't.
So, so Roger loses his mind, breaks all the glass.
I love that moment, though, when I was a kid, especially, like, the outline.
Yes, I loved that, too, of the blind.
I was like, oh, so good.
That was cool.
I want to go back to Betty Boop really quick for a second.
Boop, boop, boop,
boop, this is boop. A fun fact. Do you know the woman who voices Betty Boop?
The original.
May, yeah, it's the same woman.
May West? No.
May Questel.
Oh.
Questel. And you know who, and she's also in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, another tie.
As what?
She's the aunt that brings the cat wrapped in a box.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, cool.
And the Jell-O with the cat food in it.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I'm going to have to rewatch that.
So that's the same voice, Betty Boop. And that's the woman.
I will say, and this is fast forwarding to the very end, when all the tunes are celebrating, Betty Boop is the only one that's sitting there and kind of with her hands on their hips and like eyes are just going back and forth like the like cat clock. Like she doesn't, that cartoon doesn't really smile, right? She just looks kind of panicked all the time.
Well, in that scene though, there's a lot of tunes that are just sitting there doing nothing. They're just like pictures of tunes. You know, you've seen that when you watch a cartoon, how like some pieces don't move, right?
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about that. did you know
that
every second a cartoon character is on is 24 individual illustrations?
Yeah, wow. I don't know. I have a lot of questions that we should ask offline about this because it seems impossible that we have the cartoons we do given the amount of time.
And I learned that because there's a in the credits there's a person called an in-betweener, and basically like the lead animators and the assistants draw like the main picture. So if it's 24 frames per second, they're drawing all the important frames, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then the in-betweeners draw the frames in between that.
How they get there? Yeah. Oh, cool.
How interesting.
I know.
Well,
the more you know.
So then at some point we go to the bar, the speakeasy, and Judge Doom shows up, right?
Is no, that kind of no, before that.
That's way later.
That's way later. Oh, next is Eddie's brother in the photographs from Hawaii.
Oh, right.
And we basically learn Eddie used to be silly. He used to have fun.
To be all fun. And then we learned that his family was a Ringling Brothers family, right? Or Barnum
yeah.
Bailey.
Yeah, he was he a circus. He started out as
the clown.
And then he went to, right. And then it's like clowns go to cop school. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the only ones that'll take tune cases. And that's why Roger seeks him out because he'll defend a tune.
Yeah. You get all nostalgic and then he falls asleep. And then we learn that there was a murder.
A murder?
Right.
A murder. At. And it was Acme. He was murdered at his... What is that called? A warehouse?
Studio? Or oh, yeah, the warehouse. Right, down at the warehouse.
Wait, well, we're saying that his brother was murdered at the warehouse. Yeah, he had a piano dropped in his head.
At the warehouse?
Yeah, but Acme too, right? Wasn't Acme... Acme had a safe dropped on his head.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And then Eddie's brother had a piano dropped on his head. I had some questions about, like, what was harmful for humans and what is harmful for tunes.
Well, Katie... You know what's harmful for humans.
Right.
Like having a piano captain.
It's because I'm a human.
But like the weasels, like Doom's weasels are carrying real guns.
Yeah.
But like Eddie
I know.
Has a cartoon gun. So you're like, well, can humans only die? And then like they duck out of the way of that mallet. Like could a human be hurt by a cartoon weapon? It's kind of unclear, right?
It is very unclear.
Okay. I think, yes, human can be killed by a cartoon thing.
So why do those have real guns?
Because they have real cars, too. There's just this, like, intersectionality of cartoon and real life for the mafia, especially.
Yeah.
That's an amazing answer.
Now,
teach a course.
The flip side is that... cartoons cannot be killed
with
by
bullets.
Normal human things. They can only be killed by
laughing to death.
The dip.
Well, that's another question I have is about this whole laughing to death. But the dip. The dip is really the only thing, which the recipe for that is actually how you clean cartoons off of slides for cartoons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Philip!
Like acetone or acetate, benzenate, and something. They're all paint thinners.
It's very good, Philip.
What you use to, if you were trying to scrub off a cartoon from a slide or film, that's what you use.
Oh, that's cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
The whole laughing to death thing, I wonder, is only true for weasels?
And your cousin's the hyenas.
And hyenas.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Yeah, because everybody's laughing their heads off. Like, there's no way that kills every cartoon.
But, like, the weasels, when they, like, laugh themselves to death, they're still, like, a ghost. So are they, like, truly dead? Or they could it's they unclear. Actually become weasels again? I'm very confused on that point.
Me too.
Oh, no, I don't know, because then they're cartoon angels.
It almost seems like it's, like, a video game death for them, where maybe they come on pause for a second.
Yeah.
Judge Doom is, like, super concerned about it.
He says so it so many times.
Oh, my God.
He's like, do you know what happens?
When you laughing, when you laugh like that. That's the weasel. Stop that laughing.
And this is where we're sort of, like, you know, introduced the fact that, like, Judge Doom has to wear, like, a very strong glove.
Yes.
To be around the dip.
So he demonstrates this by...
I can't talk about it. It's my bummer.
Okay.
I've got a little bit of... I'm sorry.
Does anyone know who voices the shoe?
No.
Oh, Mickey Mouse?
No, it is the voice of Bart Simpson, and I'm now blanking on her name.
Cartwright? Nancy Cartwright?
Yes, Nancy Cartwright.
Whoa. That's crazy. Well,
you're welcome.
So this means that we're kind of at the, are we at the speakeasy now where we're introduced to Judge Doom?
No. Okay. No. First, then we go back and we see the baby with the stogie.
He runs into baby Herman, who says something about being like a 3-year-old. He has a 3-year-old peen, and like a 30-year-old libido or something. It's like kind of nuts.
I definitely wrote down 3-year-old dinky.
Dinky, yeah. Baby Herman. A couple of the things that don't hold up is kind of the I think the hashtag Me Too stuff. But it is Hollywood. Like, I don't know. And the fact that it's set in 1947, they like get away with a lot because I feel like it's almost like retro misogyny. But Baby Herman is tough.
Yeah.
I just realized in like my sleepier handwriting, this is before I stopped taking notes, I wrote, weasels use real guns?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a question. Yeah. So he runs into Baby Herman and then
we're back in the terminal bar.
Right. And that's where Roger is hiding in like...
Oh, no, wait. No, we're not. First the weasels come to... First we learn that the will is in the pocket of Acme.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because Eddie is looking through his glass, right? Because
he's...
I love that as a kid when he like finds something by accident in a photograph. That's my favorite plot device. When closer at a photograph. Oh,
so amazing. Good. And then he gets out his... And then he goes to, he's tired, so he goes to bed, but Roger's in his bed, like a big lump.
Yeah.
And it's cute. And then the weasels come.
Yes.
And that's when I wrote down, weasels use real guns?
Yeah, the weasels are the worst.
And Roger Rabbit goes into the laundry sink, which also as a kid I was like, I'm so confused. You're washing your clothes in your kitchen sink? Why?
Oh, right. I guess I thought he was doing dishes, but he's doing...
No, he says it's his lingerie.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Also, I've been watching a lot of SVU lately, and there's no way that Ice-T would allow a interview and be like, pull your hands out of the sink. Yeah. Damn.
Although, counterpoint, when I watch SVU, I'm always surprised with the disrespect that random people on the street have towards like detectives and police. They're like, yeah, what do you want to know about it? It's like, what the fuck, man? Just answer their question and get on with your day.
They will always keep doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But I still think the police officers would not allow them
to
have their hands completely concealed.
And their back turns to them. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Especially if you're the weasels that hate everybody anyway. So,
yeah.
Yes, I noticed that too. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Are we now at the speakeasy?
Yes, then I wrote Roger in sink, and then I wrote, hide Roger at bar.
Yes. So then I, as a kid, loved that eye hole, the peak hole. I love that Dolores is kind of just like down with it. It's pretty fun.
They wreck her bar, though. I mean, I guess she's just...
Is it her bar?
I think she's just working there.
Yeah, because then later at the movie theater, she's like, eh, I didn't like it there anyway. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Just,
like, quick, changed professions really quick. So that's where we meet Judge Doom.
Yes.
Which I have a question of, like, why a judge is presiding over, like, what role, is he a judge? Like, he works in a court?
I don't know. I think he was a judge at some point, but he is no longer, and now he's doing these other things, but he's still just called Judge Doom.
And he's like a detective. He's more of like a police officer or district attorney, maybe?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Unclear as to why he is now the lead investigator. And then I also was wondering, Christopher Lloyd has like a fake chin in this, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like nuts and very prevalent.
I want to talk about the joke that the hard-boiled egg guy does.
Okay.
You know, they're like,
oh, I know.
You know the answer to this? Like, why it's funny?
The movie, isn't it the Jimmy Stewart movie, Harvey, with the bunny?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right,
you talk about that joke.
Yeah, where he's like, say hello, Harvey.
Yeah, like, isn't there a movie called Harvey?
Yeah, there is.
Where Jimmy Stewart has like a fake bunny friend?
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I thought that he was referring to the gentleman who was like sitting on the stool two down, who kind of has bunny teeth a little bit. And I thought he was saying that he was a bunny.
No, I think it's I think it's probably the year that that movie came out or something.
Yeah, it's okay, the Invisible Rabbit movie.
Invisible Rabbit movie. Okay, that's good to know. Didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
And then we discover that the merry-go-round broken down has been playing on the record player.
Yes. Yep. And
who listens to that?
Super suspicious. Yeah. It is kind of funny. It was like, a tune was definitely here. I was like, yeah, probably. And then I love the shave and the haircut
freaking
bit.
Tunes.
I think it's amazing. I love that Eddie's like, what the fuck is he doing? And he looks over at Roger, who like cannot contain himself. And
yes.
Bust through the wall, and then that's when the Chekhov's bourbon comes into play, which is very cute because they do the whole "I don't want to drink, I do want to drink, you don't, I do, I do, I do,
give me the drink."
I like that.
It's funny. And
reverse psychology,
right? And that's where we get the first clue. As a kid, I always thought I was like super smart with picking up with like Judge Doom.
You were
really backs away from that dip. Like he really is like,
he stepped out of the way.
Here's another thing. And I know that you don't want to talk about this, Bridget, but when, Nancy Cartwright, when the shoe gets dipped in the dip at the end, you hear a little, and I think it comes out of Judge Doom's mouth.
No, it's a weasel.
Oh, is
actually,
it?
Yes, because I asked that clarifying question last night. It was confirmed. It was a weasel.
Because I always thought that was because it sounds just like Judge Doom at the end.
It does. It does. I always thought it, I agree with you. At first, when I was a kid, I thought it was the shoe making a noise.
Yeah, which is.
But it is a weasel.
Okay. All right. Touche.
I don't.
None taken.
All right.
Philip, I like when you back up into your Jessica Rabbit background and you the top of your head disappears.
I recently watched the film Memento, and I feel like Dolores kind of reminds me of Natalie, like Carrie Ann Moss's character from Memento for some reason. Maybe because she's just
her look.
Like her look and like her all-knowing bartenderness. I mean, she becomes a worse character as the movie goes on, but
yeah, spoiler for Memento.
Sorry. Yeah,
especially if you're watching that movie backwards.
Yes, right. Guys,
shave and a haircut was the last note I took.
Okay.
Well, I have. Note. So Yeah. So that's when, at some point, that's when we get reintroduced to Jessica Rabbit, right? Or no?
See. Is that the mashed potato woman?
Yes. Which I even know, like, did Angelina Jolie, like, model herself after Jessica Rabbit?
Octomom.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Octomom modeled herself after Angelina Jolie and Jessica Rabbit.
Got it.
I can believe it.
Okay. Oh, yes. I did have a note that Judge Doom, yes, is making fun of everybody's
disability.
And then, yeah.
So maybe, after this point, it's stopped too. I know, right? Because we all were like, all right, like, they almost kill Roger and then they don't. And then basically everything from there turns into this whole, like,
high speed car chase.
Yeah, it's a high speed car chase where we end up in the Acme factory with the dip. But
yeah,
after that, we see those, like, sleepy cowboy, mildly racially insensitive.
That's another thing that doesn't hold
up. Or maybe racially insensitive.
I mean, the tomahawk guy. And then I actually was going to say, too, I know that Robert Zemeckis directed the film.
Yep.
And there is a point where, you know, he's, Eddie is, like, so stoked to be back in Toontown after, like, getting in the car with Jessica and Benny. And, like, he puts those bullets in the gun and he's like, all right, boys. And then he goes to, like, drink a swig of the whiskey and he pours it out. And the way that whole scene is filmed is exactly like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Just the music, the crescendo, the zoom, all of it is exactly.
Yeah, he just had done it. It was like hot off the press.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so then Eddie, so we kind of see Eddie becoming less of an alcoholic, which is nice. Adventures through Toontown. And then, right. And then, so we're speeding up, but like, right. It's just like a bunch of action. And then we're back at the factory.
Yeah.
Where we get to use the hole. Oh my God. That hole is so cool. The Acme, like, portable hole that you can just use to break through stuff. And as a kid, I remember watching this and, like, having all the humans are like, ah, Toontown blows. And I'm like, you're so lucky. Like, I just desperately wanted. I was like, oh, if I could just have a portable hole, it's all I would want to, like, hang out with Roger Rabbit. And
also, that one portable hole is just not big enough for Eddie to squeeze through when he's in the magnet. I'm just
I know.
Say.
Eddie's a pretty, like,
it could be
guy.
Expanded. Like, okay. It's not.
Like, yeah,
the whole scene, it was like he was gonna get run over like 100 times before that happened. It was like so close to him.
Yeah.
He was like in his face and he's like still has all this maneuvering room.
Well, just like the dip, like the squirt dip that gets close to Roger and Jessica the whole time.
Should we talk about the since we're all kind of blurring to the end a little, should we just talk about the Jessica Rabbit proxy, the woman who looks beautiful through the blind.
that one maybe doesn't hold up.
I don't think that holds up at all.
Wait, I don't know if I remember this.
Go ahead, Philip.
No, Eddie takes the elevator he sees the silhouette in the window on the certain floor. He takes a very funny scene where he takes the elevator all the way up with worst elevator person in the world.
With a droopy dog. Right?
Droopy dog. Okay. And he knocks on there, and then this homely woman
she's like crazy looking, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's, like a witch.
It is loco.
She's something.
She is something. I don't really want to describe it, but like then she is just hounding after Eddie.
Yeah. And... okay. It's funny. I don't know why I missed that in my viewing last night, but I remember that from a kid.
Terrifying. She like screams out, "A man!"
Oh and then just God! Like, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Totally.
My favorite part, obviously, is that Eddie can manipulate the road line so that she falls into the wall.
Runs into
and her boobs separate. On either side of the wall.
God, what's so crazy is I don't remember. I must have taken like a bathroom break, but I you're bringing it right back. Interesting. Well, the next note I have is when they're in the warehouse and Judge Doom is basically just wants to develop LA. Like, that's his whole plan.
Yeah.
To run highways, have rapidly served food. Ha ha ha.
Like, it all happened.
Oh, I know. It's so sad. I mean, when he talks about it, it's like, okay, so this is like a sociopath's view of the city. And then Eddie says, and as a kid, like, I knew this was a punchline, but I didn't know why. When he said, like, freeway, only a toon could come up with something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Which is funny. But I do have, like,
interesting. Sorry. I was just going to say, interesting watching this now, though, in the time of quarantine, where the freeways have never been freer.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, right here, yeah.
That's true.
Like a whole kind of meta experience.
Yeah, right. It is kind of.
Pollution rates are dropping all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Dolphins nice. Are in the canals in Venice. Just kidding.
Yeah.
That's, Annie told everybody she knew, though. So.
Wait, is that not true?
I don't think so. I thought that was a rumor. There's some rumors going. I don't know. Our friend Dusty posted on Facebook, like, finally, with no, like, gondolas to disturb them, like, ancient, like, Villa Sapods are in the Venice.
Oh, yeah.
You see that? It's like this giant dinosaur. It's pretty
cool. Oh, that's funny.
Well, so I wrote down, like, are Doom and the Weasels, like, the lone sociopaths of Toontown? Or do they have, like, a crime problem?
I assume they have a
question. I think they have a lot of problems.
Okay. So it's not like
it's the Wild West in some ways.
It is frenetic. I did write down, like, it is happy when they go there, and it's like, but it's like a little nuts.
It's
like,
a lot.
Even the Daffy and Donald. Yeah, it's just lawless, especially for a human. Like,
it's lawless, but they don't get hurt, right? For a human.
Yeah.
For a toon, it's like.
Well, I forget how Eddie got shot out, and he was like skydiving down. But I've got to assume that was very dangerous for him. Although now I'm trying to think, how did he land? Didn't he?
I can't remember.
Oh, I don't remember either.
Oh yeah, somebody's like, oh, you should have a pack. It was kind of like all the two.
Oh no, he had a spare tire. That was the whole Bugs Bunny Mickey Mouse scene.
Yeah, the tunes are assholes.
But then I think he just landed on the cement and lived.
Yeah, it's unclear. The whole arm thing is unclear.
Jeff, how did Eddie land when he had the spare tire? Do you remember? I'm asking my consultant.
Yeah, and if anyone listening on the live stream can call in as well.
He doesn't remember either. Nobody remembers.
Yeah.
Well, he lived. And then, I mean, we're kind of at the
live stream
where we talk about the big reveal. Where then Judge Doom gets run over by a...
I haven't watched that part yet.
By a steamroller.
Oh, that gave me nightmares forever.
No kidding. Like, I remember... So I, in my life, have two villains that, like, haunt... Like, I can't even watch it. And one is Judge Doom, and the other is, like, Gary Busey's son from the movie Contact. And they're the same person. They're the same face.
I'm going to say Gary Busey's son is much scarier.
Oof! That movie is fucking nuts. But it's kind of a similar look to the camera and, like, boom! Like, bug eyes. Man, when he inflates himself back up... And then as a kid, when he just says, like, remember when I killed your brother?
Talked just like
it is so, I think we all maybe watched it at the same age where you're like,
yeah,
good enough to watch it, maybe, but like nightmares happened. And
that's scary.
Annie did not want to rewatch it because she's like, I can't handle this.
That's scary. It's very scary.
Fun fact, Tim Curry auditioned for it, but they deemed him too scary. So from Clue and It.
Christopher Walken is, I mean, that's not his name. What's his name?
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher
Walken would have been fine too.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd is very scary though.
That was the right amount of scary.
I thought it was very scary.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Did this come out before or after Back to the Future?
After.
After.
So do you think maybe if they were worried that Tim Curry was too scary, did they think that kids would recognize Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown and not be so scared?
No, it was just his presence that was like just less scary than, yeah.
I never knew that until I think last night.
Yeah.
But they were the same person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow.
And Uncle Fester, well, from the movie, from the Adams Family movie. Interesting. Well, yeah, that's the scariest thing that's ever happened. And then Acme's disappearing, reappearing ink. So Roger, these are the details that I'm like, what? Like, so Roger had taken a blank piece of paper to write Jessica, like a love letter for Jessica.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we knew that it was, how do we know that that was the same piece of paper?
Eddie knew it because he's just smart, and he realized that, I mean, we heard the disappearing, reappearing ink earlier in the club, right? That was sort of the exposition for him. And he's a detective, so of course he knows. He knows what tunes do.
That's the paper that he found, and that's how he wrote.
Yeah.
How much paper is laying around? Two pieces of paper. So.
Yeah. And then they leave it to the tunes, and Roger laughs like a psycho. Ugh, Roger Rabbit is amazing.
Did you guys, when you were little, I know you didn't watch this as many times, Phil, but did you think a lot about Jessica and Roger, like, as a pair?
Yeah. Yeah.
What
it would look like. Yeah. I mean, I love that I actually, when we were watching with my roommate, so like Jessica Rabbit, but she's not a rabbit. It's like, it's her married name. And that was a
I never got that.
That's fun. I will say a very insider podcast thing that our friends, Lisa and Matt, do you remember them going as Jessica and Roger?
I definitely do.
Lisa was Roger. Who? Okay. Lisa was Roger and Matt was Jessica, which makes so much sense.
Oh yeah.
It's the best. So yes, I did think about that though, of like, ooh, interesting. But they make it very clear that they have a very successful sex life.
Healthy sex life, yeah.
But I guess like doing it like rabbits, like, is that part of that? Like,
yeah, I think so.
I do love their wedding photos.
Oh, I don't remember those.
I don't either.
Yeah, you see them when Roger is like sad and he's like, has his own like Eddie moment and he's like looking through a photo album and they have this like limo behind them.
Yes.
And, like, but he only comes up to like just under her boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I do.
She loves him because
he makes me laugh.
He makes her laugh. He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Eddie and Dolores aren't like, they're not.
They're basically Roger. The real life Roger and Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so then should we get to our hummers, dummers, and bummers? Is it time?
Yeah, I have some questions.
Oh, questions.
Question corner. Question corners of questions.
Questions corner.
So I have three questions. Two come from Annie ICU. And is, how did they get everyone to collaborate? Meaning like Warner Brothers and Disney. So I think we already answered that. But the thing is like Steven Spielberg just convinced people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Disney production, mm-hmm. but Amblin Entertainment. But they got Steven Spielberg to sort of do all the negotiations. And like the main one is that they want an equal time for the equal people like Donald Duck and Daffy Duck. And let's see, what was the other thing I had?
I did read, and now I can't remember who, but there were some of them that they couldn't get, like they couldn't get Popeye, they couldn't get Tom and Jerry.
It was a timing issue is what I heard. Bridget has something.
Well, no, I was just going to say, what was interesting is that Olive Oil is also voiced by Mae Questel, the same voice as Betty Boop.
Did they get olive oil, or they couldn't?
No, because Jeff and I were talking about that, and I thought that olive oil and Popeye were in the final scene, mm-hmm. but they're not there.
Yeah,
it's mostly animals. There's not any other human,
except for
cartoons.
Betty Boop looking like
looking like
yeah.
What's happening?
I think the reason why all those other characters weren't in it. It was just literally a timing issue of not being able to get the animation in it. There wasn't any sort of like problems with it. It was just like a budget and timing issue. And this was the most expensive movie to date.
I read that.
Yes, yeah.
And it was kind of like a big boost up.
Huge Disney, budget.
Right? Yeah. Like it was kind of like, let's come back and make, because they had made a couple of like failed things, like something called Used Cars, I read.
I have not read that.
It had a couple of flops, I feel like, that weren't exclusively kids' things. Like this was kind of one of the first movies that worked for adults and kids, right?
Could, yeah. But budget wise, this beat out. It was more expensive than Rambo 3, which is the most expensive movie before that. And then it was beaten out by Terminator 2.
Wow. Just
interesting. For your little... I know that it was like definitely the most expensive animated movie.
No, it was the most expensive movie.
Movie. That's nuts.
Full stop.
Well, speaking of which, kind of, the next question that Annie ICU has is, what rating do we think it would get today? Because I was surprised. I thought that this movie was rated R, but it was rated PG.
Yeah.
But yeah, wasn't PG. Was it before the PG-13 rating came out? I think it was before PG-13. Or was it?
What would make it PG-13? Smoking?
Oh, probably.
There's no swearing.
Is there no swearing? Well, there's like the, well, I guess not. Like kick me in the balls, I guess is not. But there's a lot of like sex and violence and smoking and drinking.
Well, looking up all the facts about this movie, there is apparently a scene of Jessica Rabbit without any underwear.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of, yeah, like if you watch it on slow-mo, right?
Right, where, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where?
Which I'm sure is, I think in the crotch region.
That's funny.
That's good, Philip. You're a real Roger Rabbit.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yeah.
So
it's at a car crash scene.
Interesting. I think it would get like a maybe a PG-13.
Yeah, I think it'd be.
It doesn't PG-13. Feel like a PG movie.
No, I think it'd probably get probably be PG-13, but they can't change them or no.
No, I mean, the...
Oh, no, I don't think they can. I don't think you can change it. Right?
Once you get stamped with that PG, you know, even if you're just one of the guys.
Oh, God. That should be on the list.
It was
of
a formative movie for both Katie and I.
Yeah. Just one of the guys. Oh, my God. Looks like the Karate Kid. Remember? Oh, my God. Well, anyway. This question comes from Dave L.
Oh, good. I'm glad you...
Yes.
Checked with that who, obsessive guy.
Yeah, who says, would you actually watch and enjoy a Roger Rabbit cartoon?
I'm going to honestly say probably not. I don't love cartoons.
Well, sure. Not like, yeah, I do love cartoons. I'm a big Bob's Burger, Simpsons.
I just got an evil look Carter. About that.
I know. Well, you did not whisper. You whisper screamed that. So it's an interesting question. My first note of this, of taking notes for this movie was I immediately love Roger Rabbit's energy. And that's during the Baby Herman cartoon. Like, I really like Roger Rabbit. Like, I think he's a kind of like hilarious, relatable character. That kind of cartoon, the Baby Herman cartoon, like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
I like Looney Tunes.
That's like exactly what it is though. Like Ben and or Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
Well, Ben and Jerry.
It's Ben and Jerry cartoons.
Ben and Jerry's.
Misspoke.
Delicious.
I don't know. I mean, I think what he means is, would you watch like the Baby Herman, like the short? Would that be something you would like seek out, I guess?
Yeah, I like shorts. Like I think there's the whole like shorts that are around like the Incredibles with the little baby there. Oh, I found those very entertaining. I think all the little shorts I've seen, I've been really entertained by. So I'm going to say yes. I've got some other thoughts that I'm going to save for some boomers.
That sounded so crazy. Whatever you just made, I thought you were
All right, guys, we got to get to it. I know our audiences don't have a lot of things to do right now.
They don't have
anything
to do.
We're three times as long during quarantine.
We're at an hour 10, y'all. So we got to.
Oh, wow. I saw when we're at like 30 minutes and I was like, this audience doesn't have anything to do. So it's fine if we go long. So, yeah.
By the way, if you've made it this long, thank you. We'll be sending you our Does It Hold Up fan club
charm bracelets
that we're all making individually in our homes.
Out of wind. Yeah.
You'll be receiving those when we can go back to the post office.
So do we want to jump into Hummers, Bummers, and Dummers?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's start with the saddest. I'll go first. I want to talk about how I'm bummed out by that little squeaky shoe.
Oh my God. I mean, yes.
That little squeaky shoe is every horse in Game of Thrones. It didn't ask to be there. and frankly, its pair got away. So sad on so many levels.
Oh my God. Right. I didn't even think about that.
It's little lonely pair. Now what is that shoe gonna do? Just it has no purpose. It's like, not to mention, and then you watch it die. You watch it suffer.
It's awful. It's awful.
You know what's crazy is that shoe probably has its own movie of like who framed the shoe, and like he lost his brother to a human. It's so meta.
Oh, that
so
bums me
the other
out.
The other shoe is now a detective in human land.
The other shoe is a detective in human land who will take human pieces, and he's so pissed because his brother was killed by a human, only to find out that that human was actually a shoe.
Yeah, he can't talk. He's just
That bummed me out when I was a kid, and I had to like hold Jeff's hand. I was upset.
It's very upsetting. I think that's,
top that bummer.
Well, just to interject, we're getting some live questions just real quick.
Ooh.
Oh, from
live
stream?
Question stream. Kelly L asks, would you do it with a cartoon? Dave L adds the caveat, if she looked like Jessica Rabbit.
No.
So, yes, no.
Me too.
Answer.
Maybe yes. Hercules.
And
I would do it with a cartoon. I would not do it with Jessica Rabbit.
I would do it with either Fox from Robin Hood, either Maid Marian or Robin Hood.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say the Fox from The Fox and the Hound.
Nope. I'd be good friends with him. Todd. I'd be good friends with Todd. But the foxes from Robin Hood, Annie and I both discussed it. We both simultaneously, I think we actually, what happened is we wanted to be the Robin Hood fox, and we were very heavily crushing on the Maid Marian fox. But truthfully, they're the same person. One has a veil and one has a hat with a feather in it.
Sure.
That makes sense.
We feel very strongly about those foxes.
I feel like Tramp is giving off some like really sexy masculine vibes. I just wanna...
He's scruffy. He's
scruffy.
He should be a San Diego. He's for sure a San Diego.
Yeah, he's like from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's aloof. He's totally. Will not be committed to you, but
totally.
Take you out for a nice Italian dinner.
Yeah.
Philip, what cartoon do you want to do? Betty Boop.
Betty Boop, yeah. From like when she came on, I was like, yeah, I can.
She's a spinner.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what that means?
I do know what that means.
Oh God, now I know what it means.
What is it, Katie?
Yeah, tell us.
This is what I think it is.
We already have this.
Is it when a woman like balances on a man's penis and spins around?
Is it because she's so small?
Oh my God, gross! Well, I guessed it right. Congrats on your hetero
well
lives.
Done.
Okay, so that's a good segue into the other bummers, I guess. Okay. Hard so to top that.
Your bummer?
I don't. I gotta still think about it because
I've got a bummer.
Do it.
Yeah, my bummer.
Oh my god, you guys still haven't done your bummers?
No.
So sorry. Okay.
Yeah, as we said, this is gonna be a long podcast.
Yeah.
My bummer is Roger Rabbit.
What?
My first note here is Roger is annoying.
Oh my god, and that's the opposite of my note.
I know. I know.
You guys.
And
fight,
I did
fight.
I came around to him at the end, but honestly, if they stripped out all the cartoons from this and it was just film noir, I would have loved it a lot more.
Bob, you just wanted to watch a Dick Tracy movie.
Yep. Not a Dick Tracy movie. That's different. But okay. Just a what's the film noir from NPR that they always play on Sundays? It's it's this private eye he's like a insurance investigator, and he basically just goes through $1.50 for the hotel, and now I had to do a
I know what you're 20, talking about.
25 cent car or call, but yeah. I love, oh, it's Johnny Dollar. Dollar. So I love that shit. And so when they threw all the cartoons on it, it just lessened it for me. So my bummer was that there were cartoons in this. while it was great and impressive, if they could have lost all that, I would have enjoyed the movie more.
Okay.
So that's my bummer.
Okay, so
it
basically,
wasn't a parody.
You don't want a cartoon movie at all. Okay, just checking.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
movie
yeah.
Of what it was supposed to be.
And that bummed you out? It's the whole movie.
Oh, my yep. God. Uh-huh. Phil spent the whole movie depressed.
Oh, like, God.
Because if it had been a movie about just, like, freeway real estate, which, I don't know if you guys know this, Chinatown is all about water rights in L.A.
Yes.
It's always
that every week.
Boring stuff that they're always about. I love it. I love it.
Well, okay. So it's hard to... That shoe is such a bummer that it's almost like it's from a different movie. Like, that's
oh, no.
The only,
that one wins. That wins.
Up. But yeah. To pivot, I definitely wasn't bummed out by Roger Rabbit and the cartoons. but I think I was a little bummed. We kind of touched on it. I was a little bummed about Jessica Rabbit because my kid brain remembered it as like this very like alluring character. And in the rewatch, I kind of, you did Phil, where I was like, this person is over the top and I cannot see her face. It's like she has.
Doesn't exist.
Right. So that was a
it's
little bit
like
of a bummer.
Mush, just constantly mushing in different directions.
That was a bummer for me.
But don't you think that's like really just about
Botox?
But also the male gaze on how women are supposed to look and like,
yeah,
I think it's probably intentional for sure, but yeah.
Interesting.
So, dumbers?
You know, I'm just going to try to be specific. I'm going to go with, that man at the bar. I'm gonna go with Hard Boiled Egg Guy. I think he lays in too thick, too quick to Eddie, and you're wondering like, has he just been doing this over and over again, or is he just a jerk? And he's so sweaty. He's the sweatiest person.
Yeah.
So there's so many things, but that's what I'm gonna go with. Katie, where'd you go?
I'm here. I'm looking through my notes to see if I can come up with like a more specific dumber. Phil, do you have anything?
Yeah, sure. my dumber is
the whole movie.
The whole movie. I said I liked the film noir portion. I didn't. That's my dumber. No. My dumber is LA getting rid of that public transportation.
Well,
how sweet
sure.
was that? That you had a sweet nickel you could jump on. And if you didn't, you just jumped on the back and you got a couple new friends that you could share a smoke with.
Yeah.
who cares if it's like 12-year-olds?
Some of those cable cars, I believe, ended up in San Francisco.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah.
Nice. It's just, but it reminds me how dumb it is that the U.S. just went to a car-based system and all of our cities are screwed up because of that. So that's my dumber. Like, if those anti-Toontown people hadn't gotten in charge, we would have had public transportation for everyone. It's super dumb.
I respect that.
Agreed. I just had one, and now... Well, so it's kind of more general, but I found the Eddie and Dolores relationship a little frustrating and like kind of dumb in that like she gets really, remember she gets really mad at him because he's with Jessica, and remember he like, she catches him with his pants down. I caught you with your pants down, literally, which doesn't make sense. Actually, that's one of my favorite things. Actually, I'll save it. But
we went from like
summer to
that was an emotional roller coaster.
I'll save my relationships.
Also, I just said emotional in the most emotional Baltimore way I possibly could.
Yeah, I know. Emotional. I'll save my Hummer. But like the whole on again, off again, 2 year, like the distance between Dolores and Eddie doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, I don't know why they just can't be together. But yet they kind of are obligated together. So that relationship, I felt like I just wanted to be like, just figure it out. Like, say yes or don't. So yeah. And now Hummers.
Sorry, I just deleted something important off my work calendar.
Oh, good.
I shouldn't sure be doing important. That while we're talking. Go on. All right, Hummers. I have two little baby Hummers. One is Roger going through the window, as we previously discussed. I just enjoy that as a device, that it's like so lovely, and he goes through the blinds and then he goes through the glass and he doesn't get hurt, and it's really great. And then also a car driving a car is a great thing.
Wait, when did a car drive a car?
The cartoon car gets in the broken down Eddie's car and drives Roger.
Benny? Oh, yeah.
Eddie's car. But also...
Benny the cab.
Benny the cab, yeah. And also, I just love that car. And I like when he's driving in real life, his tires look flat, but he's okay.
Yeah, I know. He got dipped.
Before he got dipped, his tires looked flat.
Wait. I'm sorry. I have to back up and do a new dumber. Can I do a dumber?
Yeah.
This is my dumber. At the end of the film, when that whole warehouse is covered in dip, and then they like kind of rinse it off, but not really, all the cartoons in the world run in. And I was so anxious about their feet. Like, because I was like, okay, maybe it's only their feet because Benny was okay because he got flat tires from dip. But like, there's like Mickey Mouse, back the F up, man. Like,
I know.
Still see that it's green. That's my dumber.
Okay.
Dunk, slam dunk. Okay.
Space Jam.
Okay. I'll do my Hummer.
Oh my God, can I say something really quick about Space Jam?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Before my community college went off online, which it did, I had like 5 classes with my students this term. And each semester they do a speech about an object of importance. And one of my students brought in a basketball, and with all earnesty and love and seriousness, he talked about Space Jam, about how this movie was so formative for him as a child. And he talked about the character of Michael Jordan and how much these characters, like the character of Michael Jordan, informed his life.
Did he know he's a real person?
No, I'm not totally sure. It was the sweetest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
Whoa. I will say, in watching Roger Rabbit with younger millennials, I got super shamed for never having seen Space Jam.
Well, I will tell you that this is a student who's probably like 18 or 19 and did not grow up in the United States.
Okay.
And that's And that Space Jam was so formative for him in terms of like what American culture was and what basketball was.
Interesting.
It was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's cool. Okay, my specific, very specific and quick hummer is at that same scene when Eddie's caught with his pants down, Jessica blows him a kiss and her lips, like it flutters and it sticks to his cheek, and then Dolores comes and I think she like peels it off, and that is like some of the best animation. That's like one of the only times in the film I think that like it's the tunes are really truly merged into like the skin of a human, and I loved watching it as a kid and I loved it again. I just, yeah, that's amazing to me. So that's my hummer. Phil can't think of anything because he hated it so much.
No, I've got something, and it was the same hummer I had from the first time I watched it. And I always remembered this part of the movie, and I was like excited to see that again. I think it still held up. I still have some minor questions about it, but it was the bullets. The bullets from the gun, those like cowboy bullets that they're just so excited to be bullets, and they're so excited to be shot. And my only, like, I still enjoyed it this time around. The only thing, you know, the Native American bullet probably doesn't hold up as much.
No.
But also,
but the cowboys are cool.
Yeah, when they shoot them, I don't know what happens to the bullets, because, oh, Katie, do you have something?
No, you're freezing.
You keep freezing, and you keep freezing in, like, really animated positions. It's really, and
Katie, go ahead. Oh, yeah. It's good. Sorry. It's good. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, it just like I found those bullets really enjoyable, and I still do. So yeah, that's it.
I feel like one of those bullets was like likely voiced by Sam Elliott or something. They were very charismatic.
That
I don't know if it was, but it just seemed. I know what you mean. I like those bullets too.
Yeah, so that's my hummer.
All right.
So yeah. What's next?
Does it hold up?
I think it's just, does it hold up?
And what we're wearing.
Oh, gosh.
True.
Okay, do we want to go through what we're wearing?
Well, we can see each other. Well, okay.
Oh, do we want to describe, do we want to describe what each other
is wearing? Yes, I would love to.
Yeah. Do you want to start, Bridget, by describing what one of us is wearing?
Yeah, I've been dying to talk about what Philip is wearing this whole entire time.
Okay, go for it, yeah.
So Philip is dressed head to toe like Baby Herman, and it's so funny because I wasn't expecting it, but he has a bald cap, and it has like actual real hair coming out of it, and then like a nude suit. It's like one of those t-shirts you get on the boardwalk at Ocean City, throwback to my Girl Scout days.
Love it.
But on the t-shirt, it's Baby Huey's naked body, but there's a bib.
Ooh.
And on the bib, it says, I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
I like it. I like it.
I like it.
So I'll do Katie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What you're wearing. Just because it's been sort of on my mind since the start of this podcast, since I've been seeing you. And as we all know, that the voice actor who did Roger Rabbit dressed up in the Roger Rabbit costume.
Wow. Stop saying Rabbit.
Rabbit Roger. while he did the voicing of throughout the movie. And that guy's name was Charles Fleischer. He's a comedian. I believe he was also the creepy dude from Zodiac.
Okay.
He was the person who owned the one basement in San Francisco. And I've been impressed, Katie, that you've been wearing a Charles Fleischer outfit this whole time.
Yeah.
Just a creepy old white dude. That's what you've been wearing. And I didn't want to mention it until now.
It was a deep cut, and I'm glad that you took it. Yeah,
super deep cut. Super deep cut. It took me a while to get it, but yeah, I did.
Yeah. Okay, I guess I'll talk about what Bridget is wearing.
I can't wait.
Bridget is wearing a hooded sweatshirt. with a picture of Betty Boop on Ooh. It that says this is my O face.
Risque. Right.
And I'm selling them on Etsy.
And it's the face yeah. that she always has for everything.
And she then, does. It is yeah.
yeah.
That's my face.
And then on the Betty back, on the back it
oh,
says.
Oh wait, should I turn around?
There, you look. Should turn around. It yeah, says look. Spinners do it best.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't see yeah. that before.
That's, yeah, I yep. didn't turn around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. I went real blue. Bridget went real blue.
I did. Yeah. I'm on house arrest.
Yeah.
We all are. That's why our fans aren't going to be bummed that we're doing a hour and 30 minute podcast. Yeah,
guys, I exactly. think since we're on house arrest, we should pump these out once a week.
I totally mm-hmm. agree. So what do we think? Does it hold up? This is the question.
Oh.
Yeah. I have my opinion. I Bridget, do. Bridget, go for it.
Well, here's the problem with this movie and does it hold up is that it is a movie about the 40s that's done in the 80s and we're yep. watching in the 2020s.
Yeah, totally.
And so it's hard to say, but I think we've talked about a few moments that are questionable, but like, yeah, this holds up because it's, first of all, it's the first time we ever saw like cartoons and humans hanging out in this way. And it's a time capsule and it's got Bob Hoskins in it, who's an amazing actor. Rest
He's
in
great.
Peace. He's an amazing actor.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I think it holds up.
I actually think, and if I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the year that Bob Hoskins died and they did like the in memoriam for him in the Oscars, I think the scene that they used was from him and Roger Rabbit finding each other in
that
the bed.
Was recently, screen. Like last year.
Was it? Maybe that, oh yeah.
It can't so. Be that long ago.
Well, I think the scene that they used was when he screamed in Roger's face in the bed, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe I'm not right about that. I totally agree with everything you said. There's parts of
it. Oh my God, 2014.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think it holds up. I will, like, spoiler alert, watching it with two younger millennials who this was their first viewing. Like, actually, that's not true. One of them had seen it before and it was kind of on the tip of her brain, but they both kind of like went upstairs halfway through it. Like, I don't know if it's a movie that if you don't have nostalgia for, you're going to love. Although I really found that it definitely held up. I thought the jokes were great. It actually wasn't as like, it could have been a lot more painful to watch with like topics and it wasn't. And I thought that like the whole analogy of like public transportation and like segregation and stuff like does hold up. So, and I do love cartoons and anyway, so I thought it held up. I would recommend it. Phil?
I keep going back and forth on this. Like I do, as I said, love the film noir movie that's inside of this.
I want to interject too, to not paint you wrongly. You do like cartoons. Like you
yeah. oh.
watch Archer, Bob's Burgers. So I just want to put it out there. It's not that you don't like cartoons. It just didn't do it for you in this movie.
Yeah.
And I like Looney Tunes. I like classic cartoons. There were just Looney parts Tunes. Of this that just didn't do it for me. And I, my final decision, I haven't said yet. I think the artistry of this, of just like all the little details that they did in like the real world of just having the cartoons interact with it is just so impressive. Bob Hoskins is amazing. He like, I love him in all of his movies. And this one is
mermaids.
No exception.
Mermaids, yeah, totally.
I love mermaids.
I don't know that one.
It's definitely a girl movie. I mean,
it's Cher, like
Ricci, and Cher,
Winona Ryder, and Cher. Ryder. Oh my gosh,
and Bob Hoskins. But go ahead.
I'm the one I can really hardly think of right now. It's it's like I can't even remember the name of this movie. It's like I saw it in a mall in Peace Corps in Nicaragua.
Oh, nice.
And I watched it from like I don't know, like some small like tech store, and I spent like an hour there just watching this movie. It's about Jet Li, who's basically this trained attack person, and he wears a collar, and Bob Hoskins in charge of him. It's an amazing movie. Just Google it. It's amazing. Bob, he does a great job. My final decision is yes, it holds. I had some problems with it of just like the comedy side of it and the cartoon side of it, but as one big thing, it holds up. So, yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised at how it held up. I was kind of worried that I was going to watch it and be like, oh, God.
I had some problems with it. Like, there were some parts that were boring, or especially with some of the cartoon side. Especially
it moves pretty quick, though. It
does, yeah.
It moved quicker than I remembered as a kid.
After once you get to Toontown, it's a race to the finish.
That's why I stopped writing.
Yeah, it's just hijinks and nuts. Yeah, totally. Like a car chase.
Hijinks and nuts. All right.
Well, it holds up.
It holds up, everybody. What are we gonna
talk about for the next 30 minutes, though? We need to get this to 2 hours, right? Yeah.
We should have people send in their suggestions of what we review.
Yeah, send it to
Babysitter Deb would be a good one.
Doesn't hold up podcast at AOL.com.
Yeah.
That's our email address.
Alta Vista.
Accurate. I think we should do Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead is next week.
I love it. If it's on a streaming platform
How did you guys watch Roger Rabbit?
I rented it. I had to rent it off.
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, I don't have Disney Plus.
Did you not see The Mandalorian?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
I'm very disinterested in it. But I'm a Star Wars Philistine, so I don't know.
It's good.
All right. Let's end this podcast so we can continue our Mandalorian conversation.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Live streamers, stop sending your questions. We can't answer anymore.
Yeah, we're stopping.
Done. So on the count of three, we're going to end this thing. One, two, three.
Oh.